Scripture reading for this morning is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Good morning. It's sure good to see you all today. It's good to be back from our trip, and it's wonderful to be in the family here today to worship the Lord together. And it's sure good to see Bill. I'm so glad that he's back with us. And those of you, the rest of those who may be visiting today as our guests, we're grateful that you've come our way. A special welcome to Nick and Christy. We rejoice in your new life together as husband and wife. The Jangs are all happy to have you guys here too. And we rejoice with you and some family that's here today that was part of their California reception last night. They were married in Oklahoma, you know, some time back, but have moved out to California. And it's we welcome you to the family here today. And I guess it's only right to say Happy Father's Day. It was just very quiet. No dads are getting all excited about that. Listen, it doesn't come around very often, guys. So, you know, when it does, take advantage of it. But, and before I go on, I just want to say we're happy to have Miguel here, who is the brother of Princesa. Don't want to miss Miguel visiting us from Mexico today. But, Father's Day, have a good day for the dads. Enjoy your day. And we thank God for the role that you have in your family and the life of the church. And let me say especially to all of the men who make up the body here, every brother in Christ, this is a day we honor you as well because of the role that you play within the body of Christ, the place that God has put you in to be looked up to be followed, to be leaders in your own right in whatever ministry God has called you to. We've honored the moms and the ladies of our church about a month ago, and today we just want to make sure the men know how important you are to our life as a community here. We're studying a passage of scripture on relationships in the book of Ephesians, and it was mentioned that next week, as we kind of start this week and next week on fathers and children, next week's a special day for the families of our congregation. Going to ask you to do something a little different. I think high school and down, we want all the families to sit up front, to sit together. That's a good time to have other family members come, perhaps, that are kids. John's going to have a lesson specifically directed at our families and young people and what the scriptures say to them. We're going to have some songs and worship that will hopefully resonate with them as well with all of us. And John will be bringing that lesson. So next Sunday is a really important day to think about our kids, to honor our kids and the place that they are, the important role that they have in the body and the family here. We'll cap it all off, of course, with grad night. Next Sunday night is grad night. We'll honor our graduates and have our fellowship meal afterwards. So it's a lot going on next Sunday, and we look forward to that. You know, as you're working on these lessons on relationships, one of the things that comes to my mind is the fact that not all of this stuff applies to us, you might think. It's like, well, I'm not a father. Well, should I even be there today? I'm not a father, or I'm not a mother, or I'm not a parent, or I'm not a kid living at home. I'm not a master. I'm not a slave. I mean, I don't fit into one of these categories. Do these texts really have anything to say to me? Are they really relevant for my life? And as I think about that, what comes to my mind is how the church at Ephesus came together on one Sunday in their assembly, and someone said, we've got Paul's letter. And he began to read this letter to them and read these instructions and all of these words orally to the church. They were assembled together as a community. And as a community, representing every aspect of life and every possible life situation, they listened together as Paul outlined to them the principles that would rule their lives and their relationships within the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ. And it was a reminder to the church as a whole is this is who we are now in the kingdom of God. And we have different principles that rule over our relationships than the ones that we had in the world. Our community life is different. And the whole community hears it at the same time. And everybody knows this is who we are. This is how we live. This is how our families are. You slaves, you masters, this is the way we relate to one another. And of course, all of that in the book of Ephesians jumps off from that principle that applies to everyone, which comes at the in chapter 5 there, that mutual submission that each of us has to one another in Christ. That we submit to one another because of our love for Christ. That's the governing principle of all of these passages on relationship. Something else that I found as a man, as a father, as a husband, that when we're looking at the passage that Paul writes to wives, there are things that Paul says to women in that text that are so important for me to apply to my own life when it comes to understanding certain principles that are applied to her that are also in different situations, perhaps applicable to my life. So I hope as we go through these, you're able to see that and glean those timeless principles that apply to all of us. But today, it's Father's Day. So, fathers, it's our turn. I've been thinking about my dad a lot the last couple of weeks. June the 7th was the 100th anniversary of my dad's birth. I can't believe that. That just doesn't seem possible. June 7th, 1918, my dad was born. And I just, the last couple of weeks thinking about him, have just been missing him more than usual. My dad wasn't perfect. I think my dad sinned twice in his life. You know, it seemed that way. Now, my dad wasn't perfect. I have no illusions that my dad was some perfect paragon of virtue. But at the same time, I can tell you this. I was so blessed to have him as a father. And without a doubt, more than any other person on the face of the earth, my father has been the model for me. I have always aspired to be like him as he was like Christ. And I haven't been as successful as I would like in aspiring to be like him. It's something I continue to work on. I keep striving for that. I grew up in a time when dads got respect. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jim Anderson and Ward Cleaver and Ozzie Nelson. And if you're, you know, not as old as me, you think, what? Are these his family? No, these were TV shows where I grew up. And the dads were good men. And they worked hard. And they loved their wives. And they raised up their kids. And I mean, I look at them, hey, there's Buddy, there's Kitten, there's Princess. I mean, I know all these families, you know. And they were the dads. They cared about their kids and they loved them and they taught them values and they disciplined them and they loved them and they forgave them and they owned up to their families when they were in the wrong. These were men that could be honored and men who could be respected. I'm not up to date with the current portrayals in the media of dads because I just don't happen to see any of those shows right now that are about that. But I saw the trend years ago beginning to change, where dads were portrayed in TV shows especially as inept and clueless and irresponsible. And dad is like the punchline of every joke. And even little Junior, who's like 4 years old, rolls his eyes at dad because dad just doesn't get life. And poor old dad is so... And it's just amazing how the role of father sometimes in our culture has been diminished. In the same time, in a very real way, in a very profound way, we've seen across our country a number of homes where there are no fathers. And though we admire and thank God for the women, many of whom have been abandoned by men, who raise their children to the best of their ability, and with great love and sacrifice, we admire them, we can't help but at the same time notice that there are devastating effects in a culture when dads are absent. And that's just because of the way God created family to work. Fathers, you are essential. Just as mothers are essential, fathers are essential to our families and to the raising up of our children. And you see this especially in matters of faith. I was doing just a little online type of research. I came across four studies. I have a feeling all of them on this particular question will come up with the same thing. But four studies that I looked at all said the same thing. The number one factor in determining if a child will be faithful to God and connected to the church as they grow older, the number one factor is a faithful father who is faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and who is connected to the church. Much more so than mothers. Statistically speaking, we realize there are exceptions to all of this, and many of us are. And these are trends. These aren't absolutes. Obviously, they're statistics. But it's sobering for those of us who are fathers to stop and consider that. The role that we have, that it really comes with us. One of the studies says, look, kids love their mother, but they'll follow their father. It's one of the things that was said in one of the studies. It's like they grow up, they get to a certain point, and if dad isn't following the Lord, oftentimes that's the way that children go. It's just kind of a trend. And as fathers, we need to take this to heart and remember the responsibility that God has placed us in raising up our children to be faithful to Him. So today, and I hope you'll all the dads here today will be encouraged in this high calling that we have, but also gives us a chance to look at our own lives and to say, am I the example of faithfulness that I need to be to my own children? Because this is my responsibility. And Paul makes that very clear in the text, doesn't he? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Now, though fathers here, this term can include mothers and parents in general, there is a special emphasis that Paul gives in this text to the role that a father has. And a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I knew this is going to be my sermon coming home from our vacation. I've been thinking about this and on vacation. I'm thinking about it. And it struck me, out of all the things that Paul says to all the people in this text, he says the least to fathers. He says more to children. He says more to husbands and wives. He says more to masters and slaves. This is it, to fathers. There are two little imperatives here. Don't provoke and bring them up. That's it. That's the two. And I'm thinking, why so little? And I thought, well, I'm a man. Maybe I can figure it out. Maybe it's because he knows maybe that's about all we can handle is two things to do. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But then I got to looking at what he says, and it struck me that what Paul talks about, he just mentions two things. Out of all of the things you could say to a father, out of all the things that you find in the Bible and the Proverbs about being a father, Paul said, why these two things? And what strikes me about the two things that Paul mentions is how they relate to the role that we have specifically, that is no one else's role, that we have as fathers of children, and that are so vital to our role. Because the most effective way, not the only way, the most effective way for a child to come to know the love of God as their father is to know that love in their own father. Many of us have not experienced that. Many of you sitting here today did not have that kind of relationship, and you've come to know God as father. And there have been people in your life who have brought you to that place and have been a part of that journey with you. We certainly are not diminishing that experience or your life. But what we're saying is in the way God designed the family, that's what God intended. God intended for children to grow up with a father who could in some sense be representative of the fatherhood of God and the love of God in that child's life. And boy, you talk about feeling a sense of responsibility as a dad. There's nothing greater than that. We are to reflect the fatherhood of God in the way that we care for our children and train them in love. That's pretty heavy. That's a pretty high calling. And so we look at the two things. Dads, two things, only two things that Paul tells us to do. And the first is, don't provoke your children to anger. It's a good one. It's an important one. And spoken by a good daughter of a good dad, I'm sure. I was thinking about this, reading about this and thinking, you know, in the first century, church at Ephesus, If you know about the Roman world, the Romans had a rule of law called patria potestas, which meant the power of the father. And under Roman law, the father had absolute power over his children. The father was above the law where his children were concerned. I'm sorry for this, but it's just the way it was. If it was a little girl and the guy wanted a firstborn son, the father could put the child out to have that child exposed and just die. Unless some good person came along and picked that child up. No retribution, nothing illegal about that whatsoever. A father had the legal right to sell his own children as slaves if he'd so desired, or to send them out in chains to work in his fields. Now, we're not saying that was the rule of thumb in the families of the Roman Empire, not by a long shot. But Paul is speaking to a group of people who live in that world, and he's saying, look, when it comes to fathers in the church, we got a whole different thing going on here. We're not going to take the authority that we have and the position that God's given us as leaders in the family to just be arbitrary with our kids and flaunt our authority and push them to such an extent that they rebel and have no respect for us or no respect for you as a father. And I think about how that applies for us today. Some of us may be a little bit more inclined to exhibit an abuse of power or authority than others as dads. But when a father is arbitrary, when he is unreasonable, when he shows favoritism, when he uses sarcasm or ridicule, when he tears down his children with criticism, he's provoking them to a place in their life where it's going to be very hard for them to respect him, which they're called to do, to honor him, to be obedient, and it's pushing those children toward rebellion. And you see it in Scripture, Jacob and his 12 boys. You know, when you have the golden child and then the mess-up kids who don't measure up to the golden child, no wonder these guys are driven to hate their brother the way that they hate. And there may be some golden kids here. I'm hearing a little laughter back there. That's good. But you know, sometimes you got the golden child in the family and it's like, oh, you'll never measure up to Johnny or whatever it is. It's like, well, guess what? That's not a good thing to do. Favoritism is not the way God is with us, and it's certainly not the way that we are to be with our kids. When Katie was a little girl, I coached her softball team. There was a little girl on the team, sweet girl, went to the same Christian school as Katie. And at that time, her dad wasn't a Christian. The end of the story I'm not going to get you to is the man converts and becomes a Christian, which is a wonderful thing. He's faithful today. But back in those days, when he went to the ball games and his daughter would get up, he would stand behind the backstop. Okay, we've all seen this. I pray that you have never done this, but, if she swung at a ball in the dirt, if she didn't swing at a ball that was right down the middle, he's back there yelling at her, demeaning her. She was so afraid every time she would come up. There were times he actually was asked by the umpire to leave because of that kind. That's kind of over the top treatment. That's provoking your child to anger. That's putting your child in a place where it's going to be almost impossible for them to have the respect and the desire to be obedient to you. We've got to be careful about the way we employ discipline because it creates obstacles for respect and obedience and drives kids over the top. And probably some of us have seen that in our life where children have really been driven away from God by arbitrary types of discipline. That does not mean that we don't discipline our kids. Paul isn't saying, now look, if little Johnny doesn't like it, you better not do it, mommy or daddy. I mean, it's not like you better walk on eggshells around your kids and you don't want to be unpopular with your kids. See imperative number 2, which we're coming to in just a minute, and Paul will take care of that notion. Paul isn't saying you just cave in to whatever your kids want, not at all, not by a long shot. But he's saying as you discipline and train your children, it's to be done consistently. It's to be done fairly. It's to be done in love. It's to reflect the very nature of God in the way that you bring up your children. And then Paul gives us that second imperative, which is bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I like that term, bring them up. I think some Bibles translate the word nurture. Bring them up. Nurture your children. It gives us this this picture of kids coming into this world, these small kids and growing up physically, growing up mentally, emotionally, maturing in their faith, coming to understand who God is, the whole process of growth, this beautiful process that a child goes through as they come into their own adolescence and then into adulthood. And fathers are being told, along with mothers, of course, this is your work. Nurture them, bring them up, help them to grow to maturity, and especially as this relates to the Lord, you're bringing them up into the faith. You're bringing them up and you're caring for them and you're teaching them character and morality and so forth. Yes, but the end game, the end result for your children is to know the Lord, is to be disciples of Jesus Christ. This is the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And for some of us as dads, we may not be thinking, you know, there's some things that women oftentimes think of a little bit more before we do. And I think this may be one of them. How can I help my child be nurtured? How can I help them grow up and embrace the faith that dominates my heart and my life? Embrace the faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul uses two words here on how to do that. The words are discipline and instruction. And I think the ESV does a good job in choosing these two particular out of the options you have in English. Because this first word, discipline, involves training someone, but through hardship or pain or punishment. It has that connotation. The kind of discipline that we read about in Hebrews 12, that the Lord disciplines His children that He loves. And it is painful. And sometimes discipline is painful. But the other word here is instruction, which has to do with verbal education and teaching and talking to them. And so Paul is just saying, look, dads, in your relationship with your kids, it's all about nurturing them in a variety of ways, in teaching them and encouraging them and instructing them. When they depart from that way, to bring whatever effective discipline, whatever appropriate discipline to bear, to bring them back, to train them in the way that they ought to be going. And to teach our children the way of God so that they understand who He is and they grow in their own faith. And this, of course, is done in our word, but most importantly in our deeds, in our life. If I could just maybe say one sentence to dads, it's this: dads, it's about our lives. It's about our life. The way you teach, the way we train, all of it, it comes down to who am I as a man of God and how do I live in front of my children? How do they see Christ in me? That's really all what it comes down to. Fathers are to model faithfulness and commitment and love and compassion, all the characteristics of Christ in our lives. That's the high calling that we have as fathers and also mothers and fathers as parents. I'm going to ask you to indulge me today. I've been gone a couple of weeks. Surely I could get a little indulgence from you because I want to talk about my dad for a minute because I started to think about all the things I wanted to say to dads and to myself as a dad. And I thought, you know, it all comes to me from my dad's life. And so I want to tell you a little bit about my dad. My dad was a lot of fun to be with, first of all. This was our trip to Israel. We look over, my dad's over in the corner of the shop dressed like this, so just kind of a weird deal, but that's my dad. In case you thought I might be from the Middle East, I'm not, but my dad was on that day. A couple of nights ago, we were walking in London, we came to Trafalgar Square, and I told my grandson Josiah about the time we were at Trafalgar Square with my mom and dad, and all the pigeons all over my dad would have walked around London with a bird on his cap all day if he could have kept it up there. He was a lot of fun. My dad was a lot of fun to be with. I enjoyed so many exceptional times with him. But what I really want to say to you about my dad today is his commitment to God. My dad is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the kingdom of God and to the church. This was his highest priority. I knew that. He didn't tell me that. I just knew it because of the way he lived. And I was thinking about this because I wrote down my dad never compromised. And to my knowledge, in my view of his life, my father Not a single time compromised his commitment to God that I knew of. I know my dad had struggles I'm not aware of. I understand that. He's a man. He's a sinner, just like me. I get that. I don't have some unrealistic view of my father. I know that he had his struggles as well that I may not have known anything about. But I know in his relationship with me, he did not compromise his commitment to God. And it was so much more in our family than attendance. Now, let me first of all say, our family was at the church building every time the doors were open, as we say. We were always there. That was without question. That was just our life. That was the way our family was. That's the way we rolled. You know, we were always there. We were always a part of that. But I'm telling you, it's so much more than that. It's so much more. That's just the beginning. That is vital, but it's just the beginning. It is about being devoted to Christ. Because you can come to church every Sunday morning and not be devoted to Christ. Christ, you can be here every Sunday morning and Christ not be your Lord. That's just the way it is, because we're coming for whatever reason, for whatever habit or whatever this or whatever that. And here's the thing that's so obvious is our children see it. Children know. Children know if Jesus is Dad's Lord or not, regardless of what Dad says, because they watch our lives. They know this. And by his life, my dad taught me so much. He taught me about caring. He taught me about compassion. My dad, by his example, spent his life for other people. And I'm not saying I've reached the goal. I'm not saying I'm like him, but I'm just saying he showed me what it was like. He showed me what it was like to be a man who belonged to God, and he challenged me with that. My dad involved me in ministry as far back as I can remember. I mean, I went with my dad to take communion to the shut-ins. I went with my dad to visit people in the hospital. I'm talking about when I'm 12, 13, 14 years old. He took me to Bible studies. He took me to motels at times when in benevolent calls and helping people. And I'm just saying he lived it. And there was just no other way of life for us in our family, but he introduced me to ministry. And on a personal level, he listened to me. He loved me. When I used to be afraid as a kid, it was my dad who came in to comfort me. And when I got a little bit older and had so many doubts and so many questions, Dad, how can you really believe the Bible is the Word of God? These are the questions I would ask my dad when I was like 12. You know, how do you really know there's a heaven? You haven't been there. How do you? And my dad would sit down next to me, and my dad never went to college, and my dad never took a course in apologetics. But my father answered those questions. He answered them from his heart. He answered them with the truth. And he never failed to satisfy the questions that I had of him. He must have certainly gotten tired of answering some of them, but he never showed that to me. And yes, he disciplined me. I'm going to leave those stories out today, but there were several of them. They were somewhat painful. I will admit they were painful. I like to forget those, but I'll tell you this. My dad never disciplined me out of anger. I wish I could make that claim as a dad, that I'd never. Anger sometimes is hard as dads, isn't it, when you're disciplining to pull that anger back and it not be about that? My dad never did that with me, and it was always out of a sense of love. And I thank you for giving me just a minute to honor my mom and dad today, because I want to tell you, if ever in the future I'm not faithful to God, it will not be their fault. They did it right. They taught me, they trained me, they modeled the faith for me and my sister. And if ever one of us goes astray, you will not be able to lay the blame at their feet. Because they're the kind of parents that I find I'm reading about here, and I know their faults. I can tell you my dad's weaknesses. I know what they are. As I got older and saw him, I understand he had weaknesses. I know my mom's weaknesses. I'm very well acquainted with those things. They were not perfect, but they were so consistent and devoted. And dads, that's our role. That's our role. Dads, we are the number one factor that determines whether or not our children will be faithful to God. Well, let's step up. Let us be faithful. Let us be devoted. Let us be committed to God and give Him everything. This is at the same time so very humbling. But you know, it sets the course of your life. This is what we are. This is who we are. This is what we're called to be. We are called to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and never compromise our faith. We are to teach our children in our homes. We are to teach them along the way. We're to make sure that they're in Bible school when Bible school is going on. We are to attend in the worship and the assembling of the church consistently. But even more than that, making sure that our family and the life of our families are connected with the family of God. That this isn't just something we go to on occasion. This is who we are. This is our identity. We live in a community of faith where Christ is King. And we live in with different standards than the world. And we all are working together to reach those same standards, to live them out, and to be faithful in those. That our children grow up in fellowship with others in the family that are connected to them, that they know from the time that they're children. Involve your family in ministry. Your kids are not too young to begin. Even if it's taking an infant in arms when you go to visit somebody in their home or to take someone a meal who's in need, bring your children, take your children, train them to love ministry. Train them to love giving of their time and their resources to others. Train them to be like Jesus. And train them because that's the way that you are in your life. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And let me say to all men who are here today, single, married, young, old, with children, without, every one of us as men has a role in the body of Christ, in the family of God, in this particular family. Every one of us need to be living in such a way that any child in this church, any younger person can look to you and to me and say, that's the way that I need to live. They're leading me in the way of Christ. That's the responsibility that we have, all of us. Not just the men, of course, but men, that's a role that we have, whether we have children or not. That's who we are. We're men in the church. People need to look, and especially the younger people, need to be able to look at our lives and say, that's a person who's following Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about drawing attention to ourselves. Not at all. But it's just as they watch the way we live, that they see that faith is real to us. And they see our weaknesses, they see our failings, but they see the way that we get back up and continue to serve God. And especially for those who are growing up, who may not have a faithful father, how important it is for us who are in the body of Christ, in this family, to be those faithful men for those kids. To show them that. To be uncles and to be grandpas and to be dads and to be older brothers to those that are younger in the faith. Whatever your station, someone's looking up to you. And here's the truth in Christ, they ought to be able to look up to you and to me. They ought to be able to. That's our calling in Christ. About 1961, 1962, a man came up to my dad at church. His name was Lionel Richardson. Lionel said, Dick, my dad was a deacon at the time. He said, Dick, my son Rick wants to start smoking. And I've told Rick that smoking, I don't want him to start smoking. Well, this was at a time, for those of you who are younger, where doctors recommended cigarettes for your health. So things were just starting to kind of come out about cigarettes. He said, I told my son I don't want him to smoke. I don't think it's a good thing for him to start. And my son said to me, Brother Shields smokes. My dad said to Lionel, go home and tell Rick, Brother Shields doesn't smoke anymore. My dad never smoked again. He quit because there was a boy in the church that was looking up to him. And that boy, now he's a grandpa living up in Idaho. Rick and Candy, they're both in the youth group with me later on. And I just, he's faithful to God. But I We have this thing about, well, it's just about me. We have this whole personal independence and stuff. No. We got to get over that. We're in the church. We're a family. My life impacts yours. Your life impacts me. If you don't get that about the church, you've missed the, I'm just going to say it. You've missed the whole point of the church. The church is about being together, and we're all responsible for one another. We are a family, a community of faith. And if I need to stop doing something because it's going to hurt somebody, then I need to stop it. And I'm just saying to all of us as men, someone's looking to you, and their salvation is more important than you having your way or doing what you want to do. Their soul is more important than that. And so let's be the examples that we need to be. And sisters, the women in this church, whatever age, whatever situation you're in, we're all part of the same family. We're all living by these same principles that we find out throughout this section, how vital women are in the body of Christ. Everyone is so essential. The love that you have, the way that you teach and nurture by your example, by your words, the example you are to the children growing up in this congregation are such a blessing. We're family. We need each other. Let's live in a community that reflects these qualities that Paul talks about in Ephesians 5 and 6. And be this new community of faith in the midst of a culture that is so very different. So happy Father's Day, dads. Can you imagine a more humble calling, a more challenging life than to live before your children and to love and train them so that they can know their Heavenly Father? People who read these texts and think it's about authority and flexing your mouth, boy, they don't understand anything of what Paul's saying. They just don't get it, do they? Dads, we give everything. We ought to give up everything for our wives and for our children and be faithful. And this is such a challenge, such a calling in life. Dads, we're not perfect. Is there a father here who has no regrets? If you don't raise your hand, please, because I will come after you. You do not have time to hear my regrets. Oh, I have regrets. Man, I wasn't the perfect dad. I can look back and see so many mess ups. And there have been times in my life I've sat down with my kids and talked to them about those. I think about Buddy and Ben who came to us as foster boys. I was not equipped to raise them. I mean, I have regrets. Today's not about looking back and kicking yourself for the regrets you have. There is not a dad who has no regrets. Today is a day to say, yes, I have a high calling in Jesus Christ to be the man of God that my children can look to and my church community can look to as what it means to follow the Lord. That's where we start. You start now. You start today. Let us be the men that God calls us to be. It's an upward call. We never get there. We continue to aspire to that. Don't be discouraged, brothers. Be encouraged. This is just a time to renew our commitment, to renew our dedication, and to lead in the places where God has called us to lead. And if you do not yet know God as Father, whoa, what a blessing can be in store for you. We've been singing about it all day. God longs to be your Father. God has opened up the door for you to be His child. Paul says in Galatians 3, we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have clothed ourselves with Christ. Come to God the Father through Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, through the blood shed for you. Be baptized into Christ that you are actually covered up, clothed with Jesus, becoming yourself the child of God, forgiven of your sins, and then placed within your family to be the man that God calls you to be. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the love of our Father today, you're invited to come. If we can bless you as a church or pray for you in any way, please let us know. Let's stand together as we sing.